On second thought, the mortgage mess still doesn't look so good.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Okay, let's say right up front that maybe things would be even worse if the U.S. government hadn't taken the corrective action it did in the past few days. It did give a brief boost to shares of the big mortgage underwriters Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But today, stock markets overseas are back to worrying. Japanese and Chinese investors have been dumping stocks on fears that banks there are exposed to troubled U.S. lenders. Japan's three largest banks, for example, could have as much as $44 billion in debt exposure from Fannie and Freddie. And so, as the economic storm front moved across the Japanese stock market today, the Nikkei lost 2%. That wave of worry is now hitting European exchanges. London's FTSE is off more than 2.5%. And the dollar is sinking against the euro. The greenback's at its lowest level since the euro's inception in 1999. We'll see if this all comes back around to Wall Street, which saw more rough weather yesterday when the Dow lost 45 points. When the financial skies are darkening, you can always reach for a raincoat. The British fashion group Burberry has just produced some sparkling quarterly earnings, but even in this case, for every silver lining, there's a gray cloud. Here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London.
Fears that the credit crunch would hit demand for luxury goods have so far proved unfounded. At least in Burberry's case, sales soared by 22% in the last quarter. The company shifted more than $420 million worth of trench coats and other fashionable clothing. Analyst David Buick is with the BGC Group. He says Burberry has done best of all in countries where conspicuous consumption is growing fast.
They've been hugely reliant, of course, on the emerging world markets, particularly Russia and even places like Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan and places like that, where they've done significant business.
China, where the number of millionaires jumped by 23% last year, is another big market for Burberry. But sales are holding up well even in the much less buoyant US. As one analyst says, many consumers still regard luxuries as a necessity. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
West Coast shipping companies and dock workers continue to hash out details for a new contract. The old one expired 2 weeks ago. Both sides want to avoid another situation like 2002, when management locked out workers for 10 days, disrupting international trade and causing an estimated $15 billion in economic losses. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more.
Dock workers at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are synchronizing their work breaks, temporarily bringing business at the ports to a halt. Craig Merrilies, spokesman for the Longshoremen's Union, says members are impatient for a new contract.
Folks have responded to some of that frustration in a very measured and a pretty minor way by having their coffee breaks together.
These coordinated coffee breaks cost shipping companies money. Steve Getzig is spokesman for the Pacific Maritime Association.
We've seen productivity fall off about 10 to 15% at what are the nation's busiest ports.
Getzig suggests the timing of this unofficial work slowdown is no accident.
Perhaps this is a way of gaining leverage in the negotiations. We've seen it in past negotiations with this union.
The two sides have a tentative deal on health care benefits, but are still bargaining over pensions, worker safety, and productivity. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat. Available now.
So as we mentioned at the top, the government is hoping it's helped the mortgage industry dodge a bullet with those moves to shore up confidence in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. That would be reassuring news for would-be home buyers who need to have their mortgages funded somewhere. But it does nothing for your own personal dilemma in deciding when to buy. Should you act now and risk that the market may not have bottomed out, or should you wait and risk missing out on lower home prices? As commentator Lynn Milner explains, trying to answer that question is an endless source of anxiety.
My husband and I have been trying to decide whether to buy a house right now. We second-guess ourselves a lot. So we asked our friends.
Yeah. The prices are coming down really fast. You have to buy now, right?
Yeah. Easy for them to say. A house is a lot of money, and the market has done a nosedive. And it may not be done diving. Where we live in Florida, Things are pretty...
Babe, you can't say that on the radio.
It's true. That's my husband, Jesse. He's very cautious. And for good reason. Several weeks ago, remember, we were walking Sam, the dog?
Yeah, I remember.
The three of us walked outside and saw an eviction notice plastered on our neighbor's door. And then, on our way back, a foreclosure notice on another neighbor's door. It's a blight. About that time, we started looking at places. We found this one house, white stucco, blue awnings, shaded with live oak trees. I called the real estate agent.
Paul Kirchman, Realty World, Florida.
I liked the picture on his sign. It was a graphic of the world, as opposed to a photo of someone who smiles too much. Turns out that house was under contract, but we wound up talking. I told Paul we were on the fence. Prices look pretty good now, but what if they're still going down? We don't want to jump in too soon and lose money, but we're also afraid of missing out. We go see him. I ask him whether we've hit bottom.
No. No, we haven't. There are so many foreclosures that are going to be coming on the market that have not even begun to hit.
Paul thinks the low end of the market, which is our end, will come back first. I hope that's not happening right now and we're missing it. But he says there's no great rush. He'll keep an eye out for foreclosures we might like. We drive away from Realty World and I feel a little less worried. Jesse is thinking about the kind of house we might get.
It might be cool to get one of those houses that are on stilts in San Carlos Park. We could actually, like, monitor the rising ocean as it sweeps under our house. That would be really cool, don't you think?
Okay. Okay.
Lynn Milner is a freelance journalist who lives in Fort Myers, Florida. Your thoughts? We've got some real estate for those on our website. Just click on the contact link at marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for making us part of your morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.